Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship in this season after Pentecost, or what's sometimes called ordinary time, where we consider and reflect on the way God works in our lives every day. Special welcome to those of you joining us from home. It is a blessing that we could be all together in one place, even beyond distance. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship today with our confession. Invite all who are able to stand. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, invite us to take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You to be seated.
The first reading is from Hosea, starting in the fifth chapter. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord. For it is he who has torn and he will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away quickly. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The word of the Lord.
Rise, dear, rise, dear, rise, dear, rise, dear.
The second lesson is from Romans, the fourth chapter. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words reckoned to him were written not for his sake only, but also for ours. It will also be reckoned to us who believe in God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. And as he sat to dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." And while Jesus was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay a hand upon her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the synagogue leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making the commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. We all handle change a little differently. I remember the first time that I was aware of the world changing around me. Do you all remember when DVDs became a thing? They began to creep up in popularity in the late 1990s. And in the late 1990s, I wasn't much older than Maeve. I was probably 9 or 10 when I became aware of this new DVD thing. And what I remember most about it was my profound level of affront on behalf of VHS. I was a one-child campaign against the uselessness, ridiculousness, and unnecessary advancement of DVDs when VHS was perfectly fine. Just progress for the sake of progress at this point. I say this because sometimes I think my haircut, my tattoos, whatever, give people the wrong impression about me. In many ways, I'm very much the same inflexible person I was at 8 or 9. I never accept something until that thing is now the most recently obsolete thing. And to this day, I refuse to subscribe to streaming services, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Apple, Hulu, whatever. Rentals may be a thing of the past, but I wait patiently for these movies and shows to get into the library circulation, and I will be ready to talk about your favorite hot new show in a year or two. Just be patient. My inflexible personality aside, even just in our lifetimes, the accelerated rate of technological, structural, and social change has been unfathomable. Never mind the dramatic arc we've experienced since March 2020, much less the day-to-day changes we experience in our personal lives. Societally, we are unquestionably simultaneously disconnected and overconnected, at once overwhelmed and compulsively checking our phones for more information through apps, social media, entertainment. We are overloaded, suffering from stress and disorientation. Generational and partisan divides are exacerbated, miscommunication is rampant, and the lack of generosity of spirit feels substantial. Whether you are a flexible or inflexible person, we've all encountered the struggle with the steep curve of change, the heartache of relationship that needs healing, the yearning for the ways that things were, or at least the ways that we remember them being, our anxiety and helplessness about an increasingly fraught planetary future. All of these things can pull us from the present moment. For all the little normal changes we absorb and move through day to day, the overall toll of rapid change can feel existentially insurmountable. This is not limited to the secular world, of course, but absolutely includes the past, present, and future of the church. Good thing the church has a reputation for embracing change, right? Okay, yes, I'm teasing. But in fact, I'm taking the time to acknowledge the soup we're swimming in because of something Jesus says in our gospel text today. Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." Today's gospel from Matthew includes sign of the radical shift that Jesus represents, the coming reign of God that turns everything on its axis. The Pharisees are baffled that Jesus is reclining to dine ritually with what we would say in modern lingo, problematic people. Tax or toll collectors were viewed favorably by almost no one, whether they were collecting for Rome or for the temple. Sinners here seems to refer to a catch-all for those who were seen to violate familial or societal welfare. Sometimes we're prone to imagine the Pharisees are being unreasonable in their question here, but they're probably not. We could all conjure people to our own minds who we would object to seeing in sacred or communal ritual with someone that we expect to be a model of respectable behavior or an exemplar of faith. people about whom we would ask, "Excuse me, what's going on here?" Jesus hears this question and responds, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." He is quoting Hosea, of course, which our lectionary kindly provided for our hearing this morning. Hosea, a prophet of old, urged the people to repentance. We read, "Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." The Hebrew word behind steadfast love here is chesed, the same word translated loving kindness in Micah 6:8. "What does the Lord require of you, O mortal?" We know that one. In the context of Hosea, this is palpably contrasted with that love of Judah and Ephraim, which, like the dew, disappears in the heat of the day. Steadfast love, loving kindness, is the covenantal love displayed to us by God, the love of God for God's people, which is steady and always present. It is this faithful love that God desires, a love born of knowledge of God, a love that, faced with the heat of day, does not dissipate. Neither Hosea nor Jesus is suggesting that sacrifice or burnt offerings are wrong, bad, need to be done away with, and neither necessarily do our forms of practice, of ritual, of piety that supports and empowers our reverence for the sacred, our connection with God, our worship. These are still good and beautiful things, but we must not confuse those things with God's desire. We are called to go and learn that one of our most beautiful inheritances of faith is that these are means, not the end. What God desires is loving kindness, mercy, our relationship with God. Insofar as sacrifice and burnt offerings are means for this end, good. Insofar as they are not available to us as practices or do not function as God desires, then they are less useful, and that's okay. Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means." And the Pharisees and we would be good and well to do so. The changes that we have faced will not stop coming. The goalposts have always moved. They will continue to move. And if we're being honest, they're not going to slow down. Not everyone has inherited the means of methods and faith that we have. Not everyone can perform these things in the way that we would expect or want. Sometimes we find ourselves cut off from what we knew before and in spaces in which new things like the heat of the day threaten to overwhelm us and our love. But instead of grasping, panicking, questioning, going on a campaign to save VHS, we are reminded that what God desires is actually possible in all moments and in any future. Loving kindness, mercy, and relationship with God are possible in all moments with or without the resources, without our favorite practices, without familiar goalposts. The reign of God comes to us in the midst of an earthquake, literal and metaphorical. It comes to us in the midst of our future shock, our information overload, sometimes even in the midst of shattering stress, disorientation, and loneliness. "Go and learn what this means" is not, I think, issued to the Pharisees or to us as a scriptural or intellectual challenge. It is an experimental, experiential invitation. Perhaps exhortation. I can claim from this pulpit this morning that the good news is that God desires loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, that these things are possible with or without the things that are so fragile and transient about the way we negotiate our world. I could further plant the seed that while we find ourselves prone to be overwhelmed by revolutions outside of our control, Jesus is the one unsettling the world in this story, not the one unsettled. Like Jesus and his tax collectors and sinners at the table, perhaps we as the body of Christ are called to be the revolution that transforms the world. The steadfast loving kindness and mercy God desires from us through the storms, through the plagues, is not for God's sake, but for the world's sake. So I can say all that. That's fine. That might even be an okay sermon for today. But what will be much better proclamation is if we go out from this place and learn what this means in the shape and function of our daily lives. If we go out these doors today and learn what it means for us that God desires mercy, not sacrifice, we will face our contemporary realities, and we will do so through the recognition that we are not now, nor have we ever been, alone or had less than we need to do it. Amen.
Church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for prayer. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. We pray, O God, for the Church. Unite us with any on the margins, that the whole world recognizes that your mercy is greater than our human capacity to restrict it. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, O God, for creation. Tend forests and fields, and safeguard all cattle, birds, wild animals. Preserve lakes, rivers, and oceans, and send rains to water the earth. Revive lands recovering from natural disaster. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, O God, for the nations. Enliven in our leaders compassion for all and inspire policy solutions that promote equity and inclusion. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, O God, for all who are in need. Accompany anyone enduring chronic illness, any who suffer in secret, and those grieving a loved one's death. Send healing for all who plead for relief from any kind of pain. We pray especially this week for Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Doug and Jody Martin, John Olson, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, Gary Wolfe, the family of David Joe. For who else or what else do the people pray? For all these we've named aloud, for those held in our hearts and for those known only to you, we pray, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks, O God, for all the saints who have found their rest in you. Renew our faith that you can do what you have promised and raise us with all our beloved dead to new life. Comfort all of us who live and grieve. We pray especially for those who loved Dorothy Kleingartner, who died this past week. And we pray for Karen and Dennis Lindsay at the loss of Karen's great nephew. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with one another. A few announcements of our life together this week. If you look at the last page of your bulletin there, or I suppose it's the penultimate page, page 15. First, you'll note at the bottom there, blood drive at Central this Thursday. You It is possible you could come in and just walk in, but really encouraged you to make an appointment if you'd like to donate. You see a phone number there. You see a website. They still have slots open, but do go and fill those out. If you just come in, they might be able to come or still have a spot for you, but you might be waiting a while. So really encourage that. Next thing to note is that this Tuesday is our last Together Tuesday until the fall. So please arrive at 5:15. We're going to have a pizza and game night. Music Together is still meeting, but Children's Choir is not. So all generations, be there, and it'll be a great time. Next is to note the 11 a.m. service. Next week, we will do what we've done in the past 2 years, or maybe even 3 years, and we are going to move the 11 a.m. service to the garden in Springfield. The 8:30 service will remain the same here in the sanctuary. The live stream will remain the same, 8:30 here in the sanctuary. But the 11 o'clock will be in the garden, and it's a very different service. It's one, it's more informal, and it really is emphasizing creation as we're in a beautiful setting there of the garden there. So any question about that, let me know. But don't come to the sanctuary next week at 11. Come to the garden. So, all right, and then the final thing for today, directly after the service at 9:45, please join us in the parish hall for our semi-annual congregational meeting. We have some important business to discuss. We have some important reports to hear. Also, that's where the coffee and treats are today. And if you're there, you'll receive, at long last, the new picture directory. So please come join us. Those of you joining us online right now, you can join via Zoom. The Zoom link was emailed to you on Friday. So check your email and you'll be able to find that. Please join us at 9:45. With those announcements, let us continue our service. We'll invite you for the offering today as you come up for communion to drop it in the plates. But we'll continue our service now with our offertory.
Thank you.
of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle. The servers will be at the floor, and you'll receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then intinct or dip it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome to the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ that bids you come. Invite all who are able to stand. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. And now receive the benediction. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen.
Harvest.
Thanks be to God.